Can we exercise that double consciousness? Or do we simply write it off, as some of my callers said, and forget that America is a very difficult country and has committed atrocities all over the planet? We get that. But can we talk about 9/11? Can we take a moment to remember? Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. I have Chef Green, who's been holding. How are you, sir?
I'm well.
Oh, how are you, ma'am? I saw Chef Green and thought it was a man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I actually woke up this morning wondering, like, thinking, damn, like, I remember the day as if it happened yesterday. I actually lived in New York like yourself during the time. I'm actually from Brooklyn. And I remember having a dream the night before of seeing buildings on fire and people running and not understanding what that dream meant until going to school, because I was in high school at the time, and being in a train and seeing people come in a train with dust all over them and wondering what's going on, because you're under the tunnel. You don't know what's going on. But actually making it to school and then getting up to my class and watching the second plane hit the next tower, it was kind of like, you know, it was mind-boggling. And I could still remember it as a student, trying to figure out where your parents are, trying, you know, because the phones are not working. And then my mom was in Virginia trying to buy a house around where Pentagon happened. So it's like, wow, New York is under attack. My mom is in another place where that's also under attack. So it kind of was like a period where, you know, you just have so much fear in your body around you with other people. And you just try to cope with it. And I remember seeing New York change, Brooklyn in particular, change overnight, because then you started seeing people buying a property in Brooklyn and, you know, things like my neighborhood just changing, people coming in from all these different places. And even now, 17 years later, Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn, Fort Greene, does not look like it looked before 9/11. So you do know that there was an agenda.
Right.
And then even now, when you see like these hurricanes that are happening, especially in North Carolina and South Carolina,
right,
and you're wondering if that's even nature or if it's or if it's HARP or the government.
Wow.
So it's kind of like you just don't have trust in America. You don't have trust in a place that, you know, growing up, you've been told that this is the greatest place to be, the land of opportunity. And then you see everything that's happened to your ancestors repeatedly, even today. And then you see these things that happen to you that you're affected by, that you thought that you would never have witness to. And then now it just makes us question, people in my generation question everything. Like right now, these natural disasters that are happening, I'm wondering if it's actually natural.
Right.
Is it nature or is it science? Is it government? You
know,
what's
going on?
Who do we trust?
You know what I wonder, Chef, is whether or not some of us, and I'm thinking about you and I, have a different memory of 9/11 because we were actually there. I mean, it was something to look out of the window and see the buildings on fire, not watch it on television, not go about the natural, you know, your agenda. Like the city was completely turned over that day, and it was a different impact. I mean, I just wonder if you're in Virginia by the Pentagon, do you have a different experience than the way somebody remembers it from Ohio? Like, it's not an intellectual conversation for those of us who actually lived through that moment, were there on the ground.
To actually see, I would never think a body can bounce off the ground.
Come on, I remember that.
To see bodies hitting and bouncing back up like a ball, it was kind of
jumping,
like
people jumping out the window.
Yeah, like those type of things to see with your natural eyes, not something that you're seeing through a TV or nobody's telling you.
It's not a movie.
But to actually
see
it, it's a kind of different, you know, thing. And actually to dream it, because like I said, the night before, you know, I'm seeing buildings on fire and chaos, and I'm not understanding what this means to me. And I actually woke up late to go to school that day. And my aunt, who actually had an interview at the World Trade Center, she woke up late. She missed her interview. So it's just like, wow, you know, we had this natural instinct, whatever it was. That made us not, you know, wake up on time to actually be, you know, we were infected, but we weren't. We're still here.
And I'm glad you are. Thank you, Chef, for giving us a call. Thank you. And thank you for joining the family. You're a new caller. Welcome to the family. We have Justin on the phone. He's also a new caller from East Baltimore. Justin, welcome to the family.
Hey, Dr. K, thank you for having me.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about the topic of whether black people should be patriotic.
Yes.
I think that question kind of speaks to a bigger issue. But what I'll say is that it's hard for anyone to be invested in something that they don't own mm-hmm. or have any type of real investment in otherwise. So what I mean is economically, black people don't own the majority of this country.
Right.
So, like, even in our communities, we don't display that ownership type of behavior. We allow others to come in and do what they want. We don't even own our own neighborhood. So it's hard to say that this is our country when we have a feeling that we don't really have anything here.
Right. So then my question for you is, just to ask, did you go to college?
I did.
Okay. Do you love your university?
I love my university, yes.
Now, even though you don't own the university.
Yeah.
But you consider yourself to be a part of the family of the university, right?
Absolutely.
Same thing maybe with your high school. So I'm thinking that you went there, you had an experience, and you feel connected to it because of whatever happened to you at college or high school, using that as an example. When I think about black folks in this country, though we don't own this place, like I don't own my university, but I do love my university because I learned a lot about myself. I grew there. Here in America, I've lived my whole life here. I was born here. I was raised here. I know the history. I mean, I became a historian because I wanted to study the history of black people in America.
Right.
So it's hard to say, well, I can't be patriotic. I can't express love towards my country, even when I know my country is wrong, even when I know my country commits atrocities. Because in so many ways, I kind of say that the atrocities of this country does not prevent me from loving it and then doing the work to make it better. That's all I'm trying to push.
You know, I would agree with you. And we have to overcome that disingenuous attitude that this country isn't ours, because I remember a song that said, "This land is your land,
this land is my land. Yeah.
And if we could remember that, we could do better. But I'll let you go, Dr.
Okay,
K.
Thank you so much
for having me.
You know, that's very interesting, folks, because in talking with Justin, I was also thinking about the fact that, you know, when I think about my children, and if my children do something I don't like, instead they do it over and over and over and over again, and it makes me angry, and I want to disown them. But I can love them without loving the sin, the atrocities, the anger. I can still love who they are. I mean, even though this country is complicated, it's still mine, and I can still love it. So black folks, I'm asking, can we not be patriotic? Like, black people can't be patriotic. We can't practice what Du Bois called double consciousness, both love the country and be critical of it. Folks are checking in from Facebook Live. Keith Snipes has come on. He said, who will be commemorating Hurricane Katrina? I'll bet the black people who are commemorating 9/11 won't even realize when the anniversary of Katrina comes along. Keith Snipes, actually, we celebrated and remembered Hurricane Katrina on this show, August 23rd. We remember it happened in 2005. So you're not the only person who is remembering Hurricane Katrina. On days when those kind of tragedies have happened, this show has stopped to take a moment to remember. We may not always do 2 hours of discussion, but we do stop to remember. Let's keep our conversation going. We have Saren on the phone. Saren from Baltimore. How are you?
All right. It's Sharon.
I don't know what's going on in that room in there. All right. Hey, Sharon. I can say
hi.
Sharon.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
You made a great analogy in reference to your school. I'm a Coppin State student right now, mm-hmm. currently, and for all of the mess that goes on, I love my school,
yes.
And I love the experiences that it has provided to me as well. Was this country complicit? Yes. I recall my uncle at the time worked for a major U.S. airline, and he lived in Florida, and he could fly, you know, take any flight that he wanted to, and he wanted to come home the night prior to the attacks. However, he had called us and told us that all flights were grounded from that hub where he was at in Florida. He could not get home that mm-hmm. night. And I always questioned why. Was it because the president was going to speak in Florida the next
right.
day? Why did they? I never could understand why they grounded those flights the night before. But now, you know, it's clear. But I also agree with you. Let's remove "Can Blacks Be Patriotic?" The caller that called and spoke of chickens coming home to roost.
Yes.
If you cannot ignore, like the gentleman said, the human condition and the loss of life.
Right.
3,000 people lost their lives. And forget black, forget white. It's a it's a cry for our humanity.
That's what
As a mother, just being afraid of everything that was happening that day, trying to get to my children, you know, just everything, just worried. My daughter-in-law worked at the FBI in D.C. We couldn't get to her. It was just a human reaction, not a black and white reaction. So, yes, as African Americans, Caucasian, whatever race, yes, we need to honor those lives that were lost. Do I love my country? Yes, I love my country. Patriotic? Sometimes. But on a day like today, yes, we need to honor those who have lost their lives. For 17 years, people have been without mothers, fathers, sisters, loved ones. And we need to recognize that.
Thank you so much for calling, Sharon. I appreciate that. I can agree with that. I can agree with that. How do we get to a place where we can love our country and still be critical? I mean, I keep coming back to that. I don't think for black folks it has to be one or the other. Why can't it be both? Can't black people do two things at the same time? We can both love the country and critique her. We can both remember 9/11 and be weary of the fact that this country does commit horrible atrocities and we're tired of it. Can't we raise our voice to Black Lives Matter and still have compassion for the people who died 17 years ago? Can we talk about Hurricane Katrina and 9/11? Does it always have to be an either or for black people? Why can't it be an and for us? We have Tandra on the phone from Havre de Grace. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm sitting in Havre de Grace right now, but I'm actually from Aberdeen. Well, Havre de Grace, but I moved to Aberdeen, put it that way. But anyway, yeah, I just wanted to chime in, and forgive me if my phone cuts off because my battery's low and I don't have my charger, but I do have a personal story about 911. I had a neighbor that died during 911. Mr. Willie Troy lived next door to me in our community in Aberdeen, and he died in the Pentagon attacks. And that really rocked my neighborhood. He was a former military man, had served in one war and one conflict, was retired, and was working at the Pentagon as a retiree. You know, It's really something, because when outside terrorists attack America, they don't care what skin color you are.
Right.
They attack everybody. And that was something that went down in history that I know I will never forget. I will never forget Hurricane Katrina as well. As a matter of fact, my mother and I, my mother who's now deceased, we went down to help out in the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina. So, you know, we can be patriotic as well as African-American. We can honor our history. We can call out the wrongs in this country. As a matter of fact, I don't think we're patriotic if we don't call out the wrongs in this country.
Right.
So, you know, I just wanted to chime in. And
I'm glad you did. You know, it's a hard conversation.
It's an emotional conversation. Yeah. It's hard. You know, it hits me hard because I lost a neighbor.
Right.
That lived next door, and it hit our community very hard. So
I appreciate that. Thank you, Tandra. We have Kenneth on the line from West Baltimore. Kenneth, how are you?
How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well.
You always have good subjects.
It's a heavy one today.
Yes, you have a very wonderful one. My thing is that in the Book of James, we have become a double-minded people.
Mm.
And a double-minded person is a very confused person, because a double-minded person straddles the fence.
Right.
Do you love this country? Are you talking about the land? Is that what you're talking about? Because you can't be talking about the system that's been put in place.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say you love this country,
mm-hmm.
and when you say you're patriotic to this mm-hmm. country, do we bring up all of the slaves that were killed? Do we memorialize the slaves that were killed? We say we're human.
Mm-hmm.
Define what a human is.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that a human means a person with a hue, a human person, the person that walks around with a hue, meaning that has a color. We've become a double-minded people.
Okay.
We get, in the book of James, it says, salt water and fresh water do not come out of the same fountain.
Right.
You're either going to have salt water or you're going to have fresh water.
Right. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all their ways. I get that.
Yes, we're very double-minded people.
But why can't we take that double-mindedness that you're talking about and just instead take it from the angle of double consciousness, what W.B. Du Bois talked about? That well, you have both of those things happening at the same time. That's a double consciousness.
Dr. K, that causes confusion.
Oh, come on
because
now.
It does. You know it does.
No, it doesn't.
That is what's wrong with us now.
That we're double consciousness. Okay.
We're double-minded people. We have been allowed to be a double-minded people. We have been taught to be a double-minded people. That's why we straddle the fence. And you can't straddle the fence. You say your father was a preacher?
He was a preacher. He was a preacher, a bishop, a veteran, and a civil rights movement activist.
Well, I'm a
all
veteran, too.
Yes,
I'm a veteran,
all
too, of the Vietnam War.
Him, too. Him,
okay?
too.
Okay? Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, let your nay be your nay and your yay be your yay.
Yes.
There is no in between this. We have been seduced into an in-betweenness. That's why we're in such a problem. We have such problems now because we don't know what side that we're going to be on because we've been taught by this country, by this system, to love and to hate at the same time. And that is what has been the root of our problem. Sure, go ahead and do 9/11. You can do 9/11 all you want. You can make statues of the people. You can memorialize those people. But guess what?
What?
That is not going to change anything.
All right. Thank you so much, Kenneth. I appreciate you. We have Leo Burris on from Bolton Hill. Leo, how are you?
Dr. KY's Whitehead, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
It sounds like you got a great show, as always.
Oh, it is something.
Let me tell you, blacks in the diaspora all over this world, the United States notwithstanding, reminding folks that slaves built the capital of the United States in Washington. They built the White House.
Yes, we did.
My patriotism embraces the Colin Kaepernick patriotism.
Right.
It embraces the Nat Turner rebellion patriotism and that of the Freddie Gray rebellion.
Right.
Black veterans ought to be teaching us how to protect and defend ourselves against enemies, both foreign and domestic.
Right.
And so I don't have a problem in honoring those who died. Some are white, some are black, some are my neighbors and so forth. We honor their sacrifice and their untimely passing as a result of whatever happened or how it happened, whether it be a conspiracy. Some say it is. Some say it was an actual, we know it was an attack and that the government, it is said, was complicit in that regard. But I don't have a problem with understanding that we have to push back against the Charlottesvilles
right.
of our
oh, I
country
agree.
And
I
nation.
Agree. I agree.
You know, foreign and domestic enemies. And so we as black people are obligated to stay on the battlefield until victory is won at home and abroad. And that means all these people calling in who say they don't understand that, I want them to talk about what they're doing in terms of their own initiatives in their church, their fraternity, their sorority, the NAACP, the Urban League, whatever groups they're involved in, block clubs, neighborhood associations. What are they doing to liberate this country in the face of the challenge to the HBCUs that is being led by the state of Maryland? By the white nationalists in this state who I address as Larry Hogan and Brian Frost.
And you know it matters to others. You know it matters to us. We're on the campus of an HBCU, and it matters to me personally because I attended and graduated from an HBCU.
One of those guys is a Democrat. That's Brian Frost, the Attorney General.
Yes.
And Larry Hogan, who entered into a conspiracy to obstruct our right to survive, to have our HBCUs survive.
Yeah.
No, This should rekindle our efforts to fight harder than we've ever fought.
We fight harder to liberate our people. To liberate black people who are currently living in this country and will remain. Like, I think this whole idea that we need to get out, we need to go back. I keep asking people, go back to where? When you just say, go back to Africa, Africa is a continent. Let's start there. Like,
Africa,
that just irritates me.
Africa is Baltimore. Africa is right
come on,
here.
Come on, where we
country,
are.
In the diaspora.
Yes.
Africa is wherever black people are.
Yes, and we need to
God
work to liberate ourselves in the country where we are, and we need to push to make it better. What is so wrong with that? To me, that's the essential part of patriotism, folks. We're not saying that we believe the country is perfect. It's that we love the country and we want to force the country to be better than what it is at this moment. Like, the work we do is not for us. We may never benefit from this work. We do the work for the next generation coming behind us, and it's not just about moving forward with no sympathy, no empathy. Like, I don't understand that at all. We have Gary on the phone from Baltimore. Gary, how are you?
I'm well, Dr. K. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
I just want to chime in. I'm obviously thinking that you're talking about 9/11, et cetera.
That's where we started.
But yeah, and I'm a 28-year Baltimore City firefighter, and I'm 65
years old. Well, let me say thank you for your service.
Well,
we appreciate
you so
your service.
Once again,
Dr.
K.
Yes.
But I want to make sure that, people talking about this patriotism, I go along with Carlos Santana, who said, talk about your country. There's really no such thing for me. The whole world is one big family.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, when I talk about 9/11, and believe you me, every time I got above the second story of any building back after 2001, 9/11, I was looking around for an airplane.
Mm.
You know, and however, whenever I talk to people about this, I say, watch the documentary Loose Change.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, I say, what happened to building number 7? No plane hit building number 7.
Right.
Right? These were controlled demolition operations. All right? And the best thing to do sometimes is to say as little as you possibly can. So that's what I'm going to do here.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. And he said the documentary Loose Change, I'm just putting that down. Folks, hold on for a second. We're going to be right back. We're going to continue our conversation. I see you, Darren Muhammad. I know you're on. I see you, Charles Hopkins. And I want to open up for you as well. 410-319-8888. We were talking about 9/11. We're now talking about black people and patriotism and double consciousness or being double-minded. We can talk about all that when we come back from the break.
When the fire trucks pulled up and a chief said to me, well, what should we do? Is there any danger of this thing collapsing? I would have said, there's no danger of this thing collapsing because I know how flimsy a plane is versus the outer wall of steel on this building. So I really thought the building would absorb it. I didn't consider the lingering effects of that thick jet fuel. Nobody figured that that much fuel would burn for that long. Bar joists probably failed from the heat. Bar joists are what supported all the floors. This is not thick steel. It's a zigzag series of bars with angle irons welded to it, and it's much more susceptible to heat than a beam would have been. And eventually, the bar joist would collapse and cascading down one on top of another.
That's Richard Muller. He's an engineer who actually helped design and work on the Twin Towers, talking about his perspective. that the building fell because of the barjuice. We are talking about 9/11. We're remembering it. We're also having a conversation about whether or not Black people can be patriotic. Keith Snipes had a question about double consciousness. Double consciousness, when W.B. Du Bois coined this term, it was referring to the internal conflict experienced by subordinate groups in an oppressive society. It is this conflict that we're dealing with here. And he's saying that we are not quoting it correctly, but that is double consciousness. And I refer you to my op-ed in Afro, where I talk more about double consciousness and ways in which we are applying it with the work we're doing here as Black people in this country to be free and to deal with what it means to live in a country where your freedom is always in question. All right, we have Darren Muhammad on the phone. Darren, how are you? Darren Muhammad, are you with us?
Yes.
Yes, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I
can. I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that 17 years later, we should definitely have more truth. And I thank those that really stepped forward, the real patriots, Black, brown, red, yellow, and white inside of America, and became part of the 9/11 Truthers movement. And I think it's movements like that that's going to bring ultimately the culprits to justice, because the culprits are some of those that were government officials, some such as former President George Herbert Walker Bush and W, his son, and others, even the Obamas who helped to cover up. And it is Trump now that said he's going to release the files. And I'll be curious to wait and see if he releases the files.
I want to see it, too.
Regarding what really happened. Well, he released those Kennedy files last year.
Yes, he did.
Against the CIA and others, you know. So I commend him for doing just that. But, you know, again, one of the greatest crimes ever committed against the American people and against humanity. And as Dr. King, who was one of, I think, the most notable patriots of this past century, said and often talked about, and when he spoke out against the Vietnam War, he said, I speak out not out of hate, but out of love.
Right.
He said, I speak out because I'm disappointed in America. And he said, there can be no great disappointment where there is no great love. And so I think that's what America needs, particularly from the white side, in terms of a king-like figure today. But let's talk about September the 11th. I'll give you some, I think, some words that you can look up. It was called Operation Bojinka, B-O-J-I-N-K-A. It was five targets, the White House, Pentagon, Sears Tower, which is in Chicago, which has been sold and now called the Willis Tower. The other building was Transamerica Building in San Francisco. And last but not least was, of course, the World Trade Center. So you got those five targets?
Right.
You can Google Operation Bojinka.
Yeah, no,
okay?
Go ahead. No, please tell, since the callers are listening, just go ahead and finish, please.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going now, because it was one of the biggest days of insider trading. You can pull that up, too.
Right.
See, how did Wall Street know this was going to take place? There were put options that were placed a week before on American Airlines and United Airlines. And one of the biggest companies that one of the biggest companies where the put options, that the most put options were sold and put through, was a company called Alex Brown Deutsch. You know where Alex Brown is?
Oh, in that area.
In Baltimore City.
Mm.
All right. And Alex Brown is in New York.
Yes.
They also went through Germany.
Yes.
You know who was the head of Alex Brown at that time?
Who was it?
It was none other than Mayo Shattuck. All this is public information.
Oh, yeah.
Left and became the head of BG&E, or Constellation Energy.
I'm familiar with who Mayo Shattuck is, yes.
See, these are financial crimes that there's no statute of limitation on this.
Right.
So this is why they don't want this information to come out. Now you got to look at who had security up there. Remember, it was Larry Silverstein who bought the buildings in July from the New York and New Jersey authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry Silverstein bought the buildings for like $7 billion. No, he bought them for like $2 billion, but was looking to make about $7 billion off of the insurance claims. All this is public information. Larry Silverstein used to be the treasurer or the secretary for Benjamin Netanyahu. So there was always an Israeli tie to this as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Benjamin Netanyahu was tied to a center that's right there in New York called the Jonathan Institute. So all of this is public information. Those DVDs such as Loose Change kind of touched on it a little.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Moore with Fahrenheit 9/11 touched on it a little. Zeitgeist 1 and 2 touched on it a little. But there's still so much information that's out here in terms of what really happened on September the 11th. And there's been so many people who were murdered or their spouses were murdered, like the killing of John Kennedy and Dr. King. There were so many people that those sources and forces that were behind it had to kill to cover up those who would step forward and tell this information. And
right.
So, again, you have this organization called QAnon 17, right? Have you been hearing about them? QAnonymous 17?
I've heard of QAnonymous 17. Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's no coincidence when you hear him talking about that number 17. because of this being the 17th year of September 11, 2001.
I saw them online.
And it's so much more information, I mean, that I could go into and share with you. You ever see the movie A Long Kiss Goodnight with Gina Davis, where she plays an agent named Charlie Baltimore?
No, I haven't. Long Kiss Goodnight. Yes, I'm putting it down now. People haven't seen it.
Pull up that movie, because there's a scene in the movie in which they're planning to blow up the World Trade Center.
Okay.
And when Samuel Jackson asked him, why would you blow up the World Trade Center? The guy said, because Congress cut our funding, and we intend to use this. And they had killed an Arab and put his body in the back of a truck, and was going to detonate the truck through remote control so that they could blame the Arabs and then go to war against the Arabs.
I will take a look at it this weekend. There's people in that film. I don't typically watch those films, but I will definitely take a look at Long Kiss Goodnight. Yeah. Now, I'm going to stop you there, Darren. Thank you so much for all the information that Darren has given us about 9/11. Now, folks, I agree with all the information, and I do appreciate it. I do. At the same time, I do think it's important to have this conversation, to spend some time commemorating, to think about people who lost their lives while we're trying to uncover the truth. I mean, one of my callers said, hey, we may never know what happened that day. We have David, a new caller from Baltimore. David, welcome to the family. Hello, David, are you with us? All right, we don't have David, so we'll move on to Demond from Baltimore County. Demond, how are you?
Good. Dr. K, thank you so much for taking my call. I wanted to thank you for giving a definition to Black patriotism, because I question, what are we celebrating? We have a lot that, you know, as Black Americans, we have built in a lot of ways this country, and we don't get the credit that we deserve for it. I don't see that as being patriotic as an American. I see that as being patriotic as a Black. I went to a predominantly white Christian college, and it was during the time when President Obama was in office. The night that he won, there was an uprising on campus. And these were white Christians. I mean, eggs thrown at dorms. They were going off because this Black man had won. It wasn't until I was 22 years old that I had my first realization that I am an American. I never felt like an American. I never had that thought. Mm. You know, white people raise their children. You know, you're an American. You're an American. You know,
right.
I never had that sense of, you know, pride or ownership. I heard someone speak earlier. We don't own America. We built it, but we don't own it. And so I'm glad that you spoke to what we're being patriotic, Black Americans.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank you for calling, Demond. We have Gene on the phone from Pikesville. Gene, how are you?
Dr. K. Love following Darren Mohammed.
He definitely gives a lot of information, which I appreciate so much.
Have you ever heard of the New York 15th?
No, I have not.
Okay, they were called the Harlem Hellraisers.
Mm-hmm. Now, and that term I have heard.
Yeah, okay, yes. So they participated in France during World War One, and they were denied. They couldn't fight in the war on the American side. They wouldn't allow Black troops to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so the French incorporated them into the French army, and they fought. And that was the time when they had the trenches and so forth and so on. And so one of the most decorated patriot American hero in that war was shot something like 20 times and, was highly decorated and came back, and they gave him a ticker tape parade and whatever.
Right.
So, you know, I'm a veteran, and in reference to patriotism, it's America means to me what the Constitution guarantees.
Okay.
And you know, that's how I see it. I don't want to try to take too long to explain that, but the special conditions were made for us, 13th, 14th, 15th, 20th amendments.
Right.
And so even with when you buy your freedom.
Okay, so even for those who bought their freedom, you're talking about those people, right? When some of us were emancipated through the 13th Amendment, And there are people who, prior to that, who purchased their freedom.
Not emancipation, but, oh, God, I apologize.
No problem.
But, you know, when you buy your freedom, you know, that still didn't guarantee citizenship.
No, not at all.
So we had these special conditions to guarantee us our freedom. So, you know, I just wanted to say
but
that.
Now, as a veteran, I just want to say, so I just want to be clear. You said you are a patriot based upon what the original documents are talking about, the ways in which our freedoms worked out through the law.
The original documents did not guarantee us.
Right, you're talking about the amendments.
Yeah, the amendments.
The amendments, right. No, I get that.
And so what I see now is, like, you know, what's under attack is literally the 14th Amendment.
Right. Civil rights and civil liberties.
Yes, and that's what we should be sort of concerned about. Not 9/11. I was at the time. I'm totally blind now, but at that time I was losing my vision. But I was working at the State Employees Credit Union,
mm-hmm.
and so the gym was next door to my office, the office where I worked. And so I just used to go in the gym and work out. And so I looked at the television, and that's when I saw a replay of the first plane going into the tower, and then I saw the second plane going into the tower. But the thing that I remember the most was the people who jumped.
Yes.
In desperation.
Yes.
And that noise that was made as they hit the ground.
Yes.
And I would never ever again in life ever forget that. That stays with me. It haunts me. Doing I call him the Dean. The Dean and I were in Southeast Asia at the same time, and our base was during the 1967, the Tet Offensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we were attacked during the Tet Offensive. If you can imagine the bombs that were dropped off of B-52s, there were acres of them that went off. The 1,000-pound bombs piled up, acres of them went
and it
off.
Sounds you will never forget, which was similar to that day. I agree. I agree.
So, you know, it haunts me until today. So it has left with me impression in my mind that haunts me.
Thank you for calling, Gene. I'm going to stop you there. I'm so glad you called. Folks, we have time for a few more phone calls, 410-319-8888. We're talking about 9/11. I want to quote something that Charles Johnson said, real feelings. It's the way towards healing, that venting is the pathway that we can use. And you're free to call. You're free to vent. We want to put our feelings out there. The show belongs to us. And I'm working through some things as well. I mean, I'm starting to think about 9/11 a little bit differently. I was looking forward to having a show where we were commemorating 9/11. My producer and I have been in conversation with this for about a week, looking forward to the show. But people are putting things on the table, maybe for Black folks, maybe 9/11 is a hard day for us to wrap our minds around. Maybe it's what some of the callers said. Maybe it's just we see the chickens coming home the roost, knowing how we're being treated in this country. It's hard to stop and be patriotic and loving and kind for a day. But I don't think so. I think we can still do this. I think if we let this country and the racism in this country take everything from us, even our humanity, at the end of this, what do we have left? I am sorry. I agree with something Dr. King said. Sometimes you have to love people and love the hell out of them. And he's talking about the hellish conditions that people sometimes, you know, kind of exude through them. You got to love that out of them. And I think we can love this country and still critique her. I do. But I'm willing to talk about it. 410-319-8888. We have David, our new caller. He's back. He's from Baltimore. How are you, David? Welcome to the family.
Well, it's good evening. Thank you. And on the 9/11 topic.
Yes.
A lot of people use this conspiracy theory to make people that are aware of what's going on
mm-hmm.
look crazy. But we are not crazy. I'm considered one of those conspiracy theorists.
Okay.
Now, on the controlled demolition of the building,
mm-hmm.
it's not a free fall. I'm a former Marine. My MOS was fuel supply specialist.
Okay.
So I know about fuel very well. And I'm also from the small island of Trinidad, oil. I witnessed a lot of oil fires, oil well, and the steel structure is still standing up to this day.
Okay.
So the heat will not melt this steel.
Mm-hmm.
That's off the bat.
Okay.
Now, if you go on a golf course, you will see a flag. If you go in a shooting range, you will see a flag. When there's a controlled demolition, you will also see a flag, because the wind will shift the bullet, the ball, or the building.
Okay.
So a controlled demolition will be on a calm, windless day. Otherwise, that building will topple over and create a much greater disaster.
Okay. So with that in mind, you're saying that this was something that the government did do. So you believe in what someone said about using nuclear weapons? Is that what you believe
know,
in?
I don't know what sort of weapon they use. I'm not a weapon specialist. But I've been in construction, building construction, since 1984. So I know that that building fell too perfect.
Okay.
A building that tall will not fall that perfect.
Okay, I appreciate you calling and sharing that. Folks, we're not trying to, thank you so much, David. We are not mocking conspiracy theorists. We're not doing that. Just because I don't necessarily believe in some of the theorists doesn't mean that I am mocking you. You are still welcome to call. You're still welcome to share these conspiracy theories. I'm more than happy to listen. I mean, you may tell me something I don't know. You may change my mind. That's why we have these conversations. Some of it sounds a little bit interesting to me, but I'm more than happy to have the conversation. 410-319-8888. I have Reggie on the line. He's a new caller from Baltimore. Reggie is also a veteran. Welcome to the show, and thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you, Dr. K. I want to make it quick. Everybody talks about 9/11. I would suggest everyone to check out 9/10. Mm-hmm. Donald Rumsfeld gave a speech and talked about how much money was unaccounted for the Pentagon. And some of the information and documents that was referring to that was in one of the buildings that went down. So also you can check out Donald Rumsfeld's history with him and Saddam Hussein, I think it was late 70s, early 80s. So for anyone interested, check out the speech of Donald Rumsfeld on 9/10. And I want to thank you so much, and y'all have a great day.
Thank you so much. We have Glord on the phone. Hey, Glord, how are you?
And Dr. K, coming along. I just want to share with you, well, I'm a veteran, too. I was in the service as well.
And, of course, thank you for your service, Glord.
Yeah, thank you much. Thank you much. And plus, I'm a community activist.
Yes.
I've been for a long, long time. And I noticed when Obama first went into office, I noticed the difference of people in my community around. They started putting flags out. I had a flag out on the front. They
people became very patriotic when Obama was. Yes, I noticed that too.
Very patriotic. But now that what's happening to us as a whole, they started taking them down. You don't see as much as you used to see.
Right.
And it's unfortunate. If this country ever go to war, why would you want to have a problem at home and abroad?
Right.
Because people at home is not going to fight with you. You know, I can't understand the logic behind what is going on with this president and this country as a whole. So until he can get it straightened out, you know, things is going to be, you know, it's going to be rough. It's going to be rough.
But the question is, I'm so glad that you shared it. I do. I mean, maybe the patriotism that people are talking about, maybe it's based upon who is currently in office. So if Barack Obama was still in office, would people feel a little bit different? My patriotism has nothing to do with, I mean, mine does not have anything to do with who is occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Because I cannot let a man or a woman control how I feel about my country and the work I'm doing to push my country to be better. Now, it may be that my work is only centralized in Baltimore, Glord, but I think you have to start where you are. I mean, you have to start where you are and do the work.
And that would have been a start, you know, when him in the office, and I was hoping to see a change.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the better.
Start. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. We have Barbara on the phone. Barbara from Baltimore. Barbara, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, I've been listening, and I'm really interested in this topic, especially with the whole forgiveness and loving people when they don't love you. I get that. But I also saw What's Love Got to Do With It, Tina Turner. You remember that movie?
Yeah, I remember that. Yes.
And I'm sure she loved Ike to pieces, but he was whipping her behind.
Right.
And this is what's happening to, from my perspective, to black people in this country. We are getting our behinds whipped by Ike Turner, which is the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, you have to step up and say no more.
Right.
No more. It's enough. And that's what I feel like. This is the precipice, the place where we are, where that needs to flower from all of us to be able to say, enough. I'm not taking any more of your abuse. It's not happening anymore. I love you. I love my country. And I don't know where else I can go.
Right.
But there has to be another way made.
That's very interesting. Because, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, you brought up the Tina Turner movie. Because I was thinking about that point when she first got peace. Right? I remember she was chanting. And then she made the decision with Ike.
She did is she looked in the mirror,
right.
And she said, I can feel it coming from her. She said, I'm better than this.
Right.
And that's what we have to somehow muster up. And I don't know whether it's through chanting or whatever,
right.
But it has to come from that place within us that says, no more. We're not doing this anymore. We are better than this. First of all, we treat ourselves better. And then you see the transformation there. And I love that story as a roadmap, as a template.
Right.
To be able to regain that sense of enough, I'm worth more.
Right. And I think, I'm wondering, Barbara, and I think that Black folks are doing this. I mean, we did it back during American enslavement. We said no more when we rose up. We did it during the period of Jim Crow. We said no more and we rose up. We did it during the Civil Rights Movement. We said no more. We rose up. We did it during Black Lives Matter. We rose up. We said no more. But can we do all of that and still love what the country can become?
We can love it, and you know what? Well, sometimes you have to love something from afar.
Okay.
And sometimes you have to, you know, and I go back to the analogy of the movie, you have to be able to separate yourself and take yourself to a place where you can heal. To be able to be at the place where you have to leave your country to whatever devices it does to destroy itself, as Ike Turner self-destructed. I mean, whether he did everything that was in the movie, whatever.
Right.
But he self-destructed on his own. So, again, loving something and someone from afar without destroying yourself. I'm dealing with that with a family situation myself. It's like, you know, how far do you get drawn into the drama? You know, the everyday drama that's happening with them at the sacrifice of self.
Okay, I agree with that. Thank you so much, Barbara. So maybe we love our country from afar, but what does that mean? Where do we go, folks? We have Larry on the phone from Baltimore. Larry, how are you?
Yeah, hey, Dr. K, how you doing?
I'm fine. We're having an interesting discussion. So glad you joined in.
Yeah. So listen, I have a few things that I hope that you will follow up and look at. And then I was wondering what your perspective is after you look at these things. So,
okay.
Patriotism. There's a documentary out called, it's about the how America expanded its empire, right?
Right.
And I'm trying to think of the name of it, but it's about how, it's called Manifest Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows how America started, how it expanded from the 13 colonies all the way across the country.
Right.
Right. To California, to the empire of the Philippines and all over the world. And when you look at that, I really have to wonder what is there to be patriotic about? The abuse that this country has had all over the world, I'm sorry, I can't be patriotic. And I'm a veteran. And I know from my service time, what this country does abroad and all over the world. That's the first point.
Right.
To me, there's nothing to be patriotic about. Not if you have any conscientiousness about you.
But you can I just want to be clear.
Okay.
Because you're saying it's nothing to be patriotic about, not if you have any kind of consciousness about you. Can you respect that there are people who are conscious? Because I consider myself to be a very conscientious and conscious person, and I still say, I love my country and I love what you can become. I don't like what is happening, though.
Okay. Right. So you can love what she can become, but can you love what she has been?
In terms of the way my people helped to build this place? I mean, I don't condone what she has done. And I guess I probably should be also checking myself, because why am I automatically gendering America as a woman? But just using that gender, because I've been using it the entire time, what she has done, what she is doing, the ways in which she has persecuted and killed people. And let's be clear, I am gendering America as a woman, but who has been making these decisions? Typically men, typically men that are white. So I probably should be gendering as a male. Folks, interesting discussion. I got to leave it here. They're giving me the wave, telling me that we have to wrap this up. There's a hard out. I'm excited because Anthony McCarthy is coming in for Faraji. So you got to keep it here for Anthony McCarthy sitting in on For the Culture, sitting in for Faraji. Today with Dr. K is a production of WEAA. The show is produced by Justina Pollard, along with our board operator, Andre Melton. I just appreciate everyone calling, your comments, chiming in on Facebook Live. Folks, we have hard decisions, but that's what family members do. We get together. We don't always agree, but we open up the phone lines. We have you pull up a chair to the kitchen table and we talk about it. Join me here tomorrow. Let's do it all over again. And remember, folks, if it's happening in this country or around this city or in your community, and if it has your ear, you better believe it has our attention. Right here on Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, absolutely the voice of the community. And keep it here for a final update from MTA.